Hello, good day one and all. And this is your host Paul Perdue, and the show is called Talking Antiques, and we're coming from Asheville, Independent Asheville Radio in 1350 WZGM. And I want to welcome you all here today, and my executive producer is Matt. And how are you today, Matt?
Doing very well. Enjoying the enjoying the springtime weather.
Oh, it's great that it's beginning to come in, and I think I'm sort of done with winter weather for a while. Are you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the show, I'd just like to say thank you for everybody for messaging me on Facebook. And my Facebook page is called Talking Antiques. And it's you can message me in private, or you can put something on the actual Facebook page. And there's a couple of podcast shows on there if you want to go in and have listen to the old Irishman make fun of himself, make fun of me. And, you know, give me your feedback and let me know how you're getting on. So before we get started off today, I'd like to thank my sponsors, which is Village Antiques. And Village Antiques is a great antique shop down in Biltmore Village. And they're at 755 Biltmore Avenue. And, of course, they have a webpage, and it's called villageantiquesonline.com. You should really go there and have a look if you can't get down to them. It's like going back into another time period when you go into Village Antiques, and you'll meet Terry and David and Dave and whatever staff they have on at the time. And they will definitely look after you, whether you want to get one piece or multiple pieces, whether it's silver, gold, paintings, pottery, furniture. They have Irish, English, European, Italian, French country, and of course, good old American furniture, clocks, you name it. So please, when you get a chance, call into Village Antiques and tell them that you heard about them on the radio, and tell them Paul sent you in. And you look after them, and they're going to look after me, and I really appreciate their sponsorship. Well, now today is sort of like going to be a little bit of a different show today, in so far as I got two questions. Well, I got a multiple of questions, but two of them that stood out on my Facebook page was, the first question was, could you tell us a little about how you started in antiques? And of course, they said they loved the show. Well, I appreciate that. And the second question was, how is the best way to get into antiques as a business if you are new to antiques and want to make a business from it? And they said, really like the show. Well, first I want to thank you for liking the show and loving the show, and I hope more people will. So I'm going to probably just sort of go into the second question first rather than go into the first question. And you can talk to a lot of antique dealers will more or less tell you that they didn't go into the antique business, more so the antique business found them. And in my case, that was really how it happened. And sort of getting into the business, the people sort of said, well, you need a lot of money. Well, you do need money to get into it, but what you do really need is knowledge. You do need to have some knowledge on what you like. You don't go into the business to sell what you don't like. The first rule of thumb that I always say to people is buy what you like, buy what you love. Once you do that, then you can sell what you like and sell what you love. Because then you have no, you're not behind the counter trying to push it, because you love the item, and you won't, and people will know that you appreciate it, and then they will purchase it. And what do I mean by antiques find you rather than you find antiques? Well, it's sort of like going to looking for a dog or a cat, as Matt would probably tell you. And you would be there, and the poor little puppy-eyed dog would look at you, and hundreds of people would go by that animal, and nobody would take him. But one person will fall for that. Well, antiques are roughly the same way. A lot of people go by, lift it up, pick it up. Could be a piece of furniture, piece of jewelry, pottery, painting, whatever. They could all lift it up and look at it and put it back down. But one person will pick it up and fall in love with it, really want it. Or the guy will sort of pretend that he doesn't like it, but the woman would really want it, and he'd be wanting it for nothing. But that's the usual, the way the game is played. So antiques normally find the people, and I have no problem selling to people that really, really appreciate a piece, because I know I've found it maybe in an antique store, or maybe I found it on eBay, or maybe I found it in a flea market, or somebody was selling it, or I found it in a trash heap, which I've done. I found pieces in trash heaps and saved them and brought them back to their former glory. And one piece I found that was a guy was breaking it up in Dublin City, and he was putting it on a fire, and I got it all before he put it on the fire. I brought it to adult education, got them to rebuild the piece, and I sold it to my best friend. Well, she still has it in 2010. She had it 10 years. So I think that it's very important, and the love of antiques is that when you find something, you bring it back to your shop or your stall or wherever you have, and then you find somebody that wants that for their home, and that's a great feeling, regardless of what you sell it for, regardless of what the price is. And so getting into antiques, the first rule of thumb is, one, buy what you like, and that's one way of starting, and then you can sell what you like. Two, never buy antiques or anything that you're collecting that you don't know enough about. Try and learn as much about the particular items that you're interested in collecting or selling. Number three is, never buy anything just because you think it's valuable, because you'll end up, it'll not be valuable. It'll end up costing you an awful lot of money, because that's where you get caught with fakes and stuff like that. So you really have to be very careful. Don't jump on a piece when somebody says this is worth $10,000, and if you can buy it off me for $1,000, it ends up it's only worth $20, $30. And that can happen if you're not careful. And basically, four, love what you're doing. Money, as I say, is good. Knowledge is better. And I suppose the last thing to do is always treat your customers as fairly and as equally as possible, because at the end of the day, repeat customers is what you want. And in the trade, normally in the trade, I used to have it in Ireland, and I think it's more much the same here. Your bread and butter money is from other antique dealers. You know, they all go around to buy a piece, you make a little bit of money on it, but it keeps the drums rolling. And there's an old saying, or there is a saying in any country, I've been in multiple countries, in the antique business, it's always you're stock rich and you're cash poor. And they always seem to be poor, cash wise anyway. But they'd have millions of dollars worth of stock in their stores. So it is a daunting task to get into it. But the best way to do it is, you know, start putting an odd piece on Etsy, or putting a piece on eBay, set up an eBay store. Or if you go to your local antique mall, get a small space and rent out from there. There's multiples around Asheville, Buncombe and North Carolina and all over the country. And see how it goes. You don't have to go into it in a big way, but one of the secrets that I used to do, and I don't see a lot of it in America, is that you should always change your stall or your shop every 2 to 3 weeks so it doesn't get stale. So people can go in and they look and they think there's new stuff all the time. And if you leave your unit all the time looking at this, people come in, they look and they say, well, nothing's moving here, so we won't buy anything. And it's very important for you to do that. So in the second half of the show, we will talk about how I got started into it. And it's a sort of a bit of a funny story, and it's sort of a sad story, but it's a good story. And so you're listening to us on 1350 WZGM, Independent Asheville Radio. And, you know, we're on the TuneIn app, and we're doing podcasts. And, you know, we will talk again after the break. Oh, Ah, welcome back to Talking Antiques, and this is your host, Paul Perdue, and my executive producer is Matt. You know, he's done a few shows, and he seems to be pulling it out every time, hitting an ace every time. So I think we'll keep him on. What do you think, Matt? Do you think you want to stay?
I can't afford not to.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. well, now, so going back to the... Basically, the first part of the show, we were talking about, somebody asked a question and asked me to talk a little bit about getting into antiques as a business. And it's difficult. There's no doubt about it. It's not an easy business to get into. But at the same time, anybody that's in the business, even if they're not making money, will never leave it. It's sort of like a love affair, antiques, and no matter what you buy or sell. But and by saying that, I still just want to thank my sponsors, Village Antiques, for, you know, duly standing behind me and giving me a chance to create this show. And I really appreciate them. Go to Village Antiques and tell them that the Irishman sent you. So today, the other question, which was a sort of a little bit about me. Now, I normally don't like talking about me, but... you know, my wife sort of says I keep doing it all the time, so, you know, don't be doing it. But for the question, for this question, I think I will. And the question is, would you please tell us a little about how you started in antiques? Well, it sort of was a strange way. Like I said in the first part of the show, antiques follow you. You don't fall into antiques. And I was in the wood business, timber business, or lumber business. We say timber in Ireland, lumber here. And I was making, you know, my first job when I was about 17 or 18, actually 15, was making paintbrushes. You know, cutting the wood, making the wooden beech paintbrushes. And then I got into working my first saw, cutting up beech, planks of beech. And the saw was basically what they call a belt-driven saw. It had no fence on it because you got the pile of beech. You just straight edge. It was straight edging it. And it was all done outside in the freezing cold, damp temperature and all that. But I loved it, even though my fingers, when I'd keep nipping it off the cold metal and the wood, when my hands would warm up, they'd be stinging. But I loved it. And then I got onto bandsawing. And then I got into, you know, I left that company. They're out of business now. And I got into another business in up in the north of Ireland, which was Enniskillen. It was called Ballycassidy Sawmills. And I went in there and I was a little bit like a saw doctor, where they would repair bandsaw blades and stuff like that. I enjoyed that. Actually, I wanted to get into that big time. Then, you know, I went to London and I was sort of making woodworking benches in Edmonton, north of London, northwest of London. And toolboxes and stuff like that, and I really enjoyed that, and I got to use overhead routers and all different molding machines and all of that. So when I came back to Ireland, I was sort of, you know, I'm really good at 23, I know my business, I know all of this stuff. And I got a job working in another lumber place, making special pallets for transformers that were going to Saudi Arabia at that time. And I just sort of was outside again, and I was getting a bit tired of that. So, you know, the Irish government have all of these schemes going on. I went to them, and I wanted to get into finer furniture, making fine quality stuff. And they sent me to the Robinson Brothers, who were in Milltown in County Cavan. I was sort of I'm from Ballyconnell in County Cavan, where the best part of my years were. And it sort of turned out that the Robinsons weren't taking anybody on, because everybody they took on didn't want to learn how to do the business. But it turned out that I really wanted to learn how to do it. And one day I had my grandfather, my aunt and my mother in the back of the car, my grandfather's car, and I was driving it. And I said, I'll be there for 10 minutes. I'll just be in here talking to them for 10 minutes. And I went in, and Charlie Robertson was, it was a lovely sunny day. He was out the back and he was polishing a chair, French polishing a chair, on this handmade table that turned around out of a wheel or something. And I was there for about 1 hour, 15, maybe 20 minutes with my grandfather blaring the horn on the car trying to get me out. And Charlie Robinson said, I think somebody's bleeping you. And I said, well, I'm not leaving until you give me a trial. So I wore him down, and eventually he said, well, we'll give you a two-week trial. So that lasted from 1981 till about 98 is when I came over to America. So it was a long, long 2 weeks. But in that period, what happened was I learned how to veneer. I learned how to French polish. I learned how to, you know, make clocks and stuff like that. And one of the things that happened to the Robsons was, now the thing was, they loved antiques, but they hated restoring them. And everybody would come in and sort of say, will you repair this? And of course, they never turned anybody down. And Charlie had me working on a piece of furniture. It was sort of like a walnut veneered piece where I was French polishing it from. And I was learning how to polish. And I'd say, well, what do you think, Charlie? And he said, wet sand it down. And I'd wet sand it down and I'd repolish it again and wet sand it down, repolish. And I was so fed up after doing it about 15 times. I said, now, Charlie, what do you think? Yeah, he said, that might pass, that might pass. And what he was teaching me was patience in the art of French polishing. It's a long, precarious art. So this person came in one day with a table, a Georgian table, made around 1820s, before Victorian anyway. And Charlie said, no, we're not doing any restoration. Take that piece of garbage out. We're not doing it. And the man said, oh, I really need it. It belonged to my grandmother and her, 89th birthday or something is coming up and we want to have it done. So I just sort of said, I'll do it. So I ended up getting all the restoration work. So that was basically the start of my introduction into antiques. Then when I moved to Dublin, I started buying for the dealers. And when I started buying for myself, I had one advantage over everybody else. I could restore my own pieces and sell them. So I could buy a piece that nobody else would buy because they didn't have anybody to restore it. I could do it. And I was able to start making money that way. So that was roughly the way I got into antiques. So it was the same again. Antiques found me. It wasn't me that found antiques. I wanted to make clocks and make fine furniture and inlay and stuff like that. But learning how to restore antiques is a trade in itself. It's a totally different trade because you take apart a piece of furniture. And when you knock it apart, normally, because particularly in Ireland, the weather is damp, the glue gets loosened and all that. When you knock it apart, you learn how the old timers built it. Sometimes you might see their name on it. You might see their initials on it, a date on it. And it gives great joy when you learn how they made it. So you can incorporate how they did it into some of the stuff that you made. So in the restoration of antiques, as well as buying and selling antiques, is a great, great art. But it's totally different than making stuff. You're making stuff on a machine all that time and, you know, you're turning out a piece. You have people that make chairs and furniture in the Asheville, North Carolina region, and they're great. But to get a really good antique and take it apart and bring it back and have it looking like nobody touched it, that is a secret that very few have and very hard to master. Even sometimes I can't master it, but I do. So from the aspect of me, that was how I got into antiques. And then when I came over to America, I more or less sort of didn't go into the buying and selling as much here, but I did a lot more restoration. And then I got the opportunity to host Talking Antiques. And of course, my wife said I can talk my way around an antique better than I can probably do it sometimes. So I do hope that answering them two questions was a little bit of a help to you, and I will be talking more about doing the business and doing restoration and upcoming shows. I'll be talking about that as well. Thank you, Village Antiques, and I hope to hear you again the next time. Please let me know everything that you want to know, and I'll talk about more again soon. Thank you.